Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2470 with a release date of Friday, February 28th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Astronomers devise a novel way to battle RFI. A special event remembers Bloody Sunday, a painful moment in U.S. history, and a prominent figure in amateur radio and a friend to Newsline becomes a silent key. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2470 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, amateur radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9 VPG.
Our top story is about something ham radio operators know all too well, the plague of RFI that disrupts communications. Astronomers have come up with what they hope is a solution for what's been troubling their sensitive radio telescope in Australia. And Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us about it.
An unlikely source of RFI that was compromising signals received by a radio telescope in Western Australia has been identified as an airplane deflecting broadcast signals. Realising that the ever-growing presence of orbiting satellites may pose the same hazard, causing astronomers' data to become contaminated, scientists have devised what they hope is a solution. The stray signals that were interfering with the sensitive telescopes in the Murchison Wide Field Array were even more puzzling because the array is in an area designated by the government as a radio quiet zone. Stranger still, the signal turned out to be a broadcast signal from Australian TV and appeared to move across the sky. Researchers at Brown University in the US, who are involved with the Murchison Project, determined that an airplane had been deflecting the signal and had likely been doing so for nearly 5 years. This form of signal deflection, of course, held implication for other objects in the sky, most prominently satellites, whose numbers are growing each year. With this in mind, researchers at the university devised a method of filtering the RFI via a new method that combined two existing technologies already in use, near-field corrections and beamforming. The former allows the radio telescope to adjust to closer objects more accurately instead of strictly peering into deep space. The latter adds to the sharpened focus through use of a beam, just as its name suggests. Using this combination, scientists confirmed that the RFI had been deflected off an airplane moving at 492 miles per hour and had originally been transmitted by Channel 7 on Australian Digital TV. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Saturday, the 8th of March, is International Women's Day, but in the amateur radio world, it's being celebrated as International YL's Day by one group of de-expeditioners. We hear about them from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The São Paulo chapter of LABRE, Brazil's National Amateur Radio Society, has organised a two-day de-expedition that will take seven YLs and their radio equipment to Ilha Comprida, iota number SA024, an island off the state's south coast. Three of the seven operators are younger than 20. The team will be on the air on the 8th and 9th of March to recognise and celebrate women's progress in the world and, of course, to help any and all radio operators score contacts towards IOTA, POTA, WWFF and DIB, Brazil's own Diploma Island Award. The YLs will be calling QRZ as PR2L using CW, SSB and the digital modes. A commemorative QSL card will be available. For details, visit QRZ.com. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Speaking of YLs, the Young Ladies Radio League is offering scholarships again to promising young women who have their ham license, and the deadline to apply is a little more than a month away. We have the details from Jack Parker, W8ISH.
The international list of YLs honoring the memory of Ethel Smith, K4LMB, Martha Wessel, K0EPE, and Mary Lou Brown, NM7N, is a long and impressive roster. Scholarships from the Young Ladies Radio League are named in memory of each of these three women. The YLRL is accepting applications for this year's scholarships. The deadline is April 30th. The Ethel Smith and Mary Lou Brown scholarships award $2,500 each. The Martha Wessel scholarship awards $1,500. Winners will be announced in July. An application form and details on how to qualify are available on the website. You'll find a link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jack Parker, WHISH.
Our next story is one that Newsline is particularly sad to report. The amateur radio community has lost an influential and selfless member, and Newsline has lost a personal friend. We hear more about him from Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We at Amateur Radio Newsline are mourning the passing of Alanson P. Holly, better known as Hap Holly, KC9RP. Hap is known as the founder and moderator of the Radio Amateur Information Network, The Rain Report, an audio information service for amateur radio since 1990. At the age of 4, Hap began having vision issues. One morning at age 7, he woke up totally blind. Both of Hap's parents were totally blind as well. A book written by his mother in 1988, What Love Sees, told the story of the challenges of blind parents raising a blind child. In 1996, it became a CBS made-for-TV movie starring Richard Thomas and Anna Beth Gish. It aired several times a year on Lifetime from 1999 through 2002. Hap earned his novice license in 1965 at age 14. A year later, he earned his general and in 1981 his advanced class license. He was a phone patch station and net control for West Cars. After graduation from college in Illinois, he met his future wife, Stephanie. They wed in 1976. Hap has said that he owes a great deal of gratitude to Newsline's founder, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. Hap was a faithful Newsline listener, and Bill was only too happy to encourage and help Hap with the Rain Report. Hap would share his booth space with Newsline at Hamvention when it was at Hera Arena. I met Hap there. Bill and I recorded and produced several Newsline episodes over the course of a few years on a laptop sitting in that booth. In 2002, Hap was named Amateur of the Year. Away from ham radio, Hap was a professional keyboardist and a past president of the Des Plaines, Illinois Toastmasters Club. He was an audio engineer and monitor for Horizons for the Blind. For Hap, blindness was never a disability, only a challenge that fine-tuned his other senses. He was truly an inspiration. Hap passed from this world on Monday, February 24th. He was a friend to the entire amateur community, a friend to Newsline, and a truly inspirational presence to anyone having the great fortune to have met him. Good DX on farther up the dial, Hap, and tell Bill we said 73. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
The 220 MHz Guys Amateur Radio Club in Chicago, where Hap held a lifetime membership, told Newsline that a memorial service was being planned for this May. Two hams who will be on the air in Alabama in March aren't just activating a POTA site, but reminding the world of one of the most painful moments in the history of civil rights in the U.S. We hear more from Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
The challenging road to defending their constitutional right to vote led hundreds of black civil rights marchers onto another road, one that led them outside Selma, Alabama, on March 7, 1965. There, as they arrived at the Edmund Pettus Bridge, bound for the governor's office in Montgomery, the marchers were assaulted by state and local police and forced back into Selma. That violent day came to be known as Bloody Sunday. This protest was also an outcry over the killing of civil rights protester Jimmie Lee Jackson, who was beaten and shot during a march for voting rights 1 month earlier. Bloody Sunday marked the first of three historic marches that led to the Voting Rights Act of 1965 later that year. Its story is told along the 54-mile route now known as the Selma to Montgomery National Historic Trail. 60 years later, amateur radio operators are marking the anniversary of Bloody Sunday by calling QRZ on the weekend of March 8th and 9th to call attention to the long, painful period in U.S. history. This is a POTA activation. The trail is designated by Parks on the Air as US 4580. Listen for Tom, KB5, FHK, and Sloan, N3UPS, who will be operating single sideband on HF and linear transponder satellites. Tom told Newsline that the operators will begin on 40 meters around 0000 UTC on that Saturday. They will return on Sunday after 1300 UTC to operate on 10, 15, and 20 meters, as well as via linear transponder satellites. Sloan and Tom will be sending commemorative QSL cards featuring an image of the Edmund Pettus Bridge, a symbol of turbulence and struggle, and ultimately of change. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline. Heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the UHF repeater of the North Shore Radio Club, NS9RC, in Chicago, on Thursdays at 8 p.m. local time as part of its weekly net. It's time for the amateur radio community to help us begin identifying candidates to nominate for the Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, is chairman of the award committee and has more.
Do you know a young ham who brings a unique set of skills to the hobby we love? Is it someone you might have recruited through a field day visit or exposure to a scouting jamboree on the air event? How about a young person who joined your local radio club after finding an Elmer and getting licensed? Maybe you are that Elmer. How about a young ham who found their way from being a regular check-in for your club's weekly 2-meter net to being invited to join the net control team and working and organizing public service events? Is it a young person whose love of Earth space science was stimulated by hearing the International Space Station astronauts on the air, thanks to your mentorship and arranging for that person to make contact via ham radio with one of them? Perhaps this future leader in our hobby got exposed to contesting and became competitive thanks to your help and support after getting on the air in QSO parties or DX contests. These are the kinds of young people Amateur Radio Newsline is looking to recognize for their accomplishments. Candidates should be 18 years or younger and from the continental United States. It's easy to nominate someone, but you are the one who has to take the initiative and fill out that online application to bring someone who might be selected as our next Young Ham of the Year to the attention of our Amateur Radio Newsline judges. You'll find everything you need to know at the awards tab on our website, arnewsline.org. Deadline for online applications is May 31st. I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V.
What amateur radio operating strategy combines a little bit of being mobile, a little bit of fixed, and, if you so choose, a little bit of maritime? It's called RADAR, which is the acronym for Rapid Deployment Amateur Radio. Get ready, RADAR Rally Day is just weeks away, as we hear from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
Eddie Layton, ZS6BNE, pioneered the operating concept more than a decade ago in South Africa with an event known as the Radar Challenge, which was embraced worldwide by portable operators. This year, the Radar Rally, which takes place on April 5th, keeps the spirit and the strategy of the original challenge. The four-hour rally is particularly appealing to hams who are accustomed to working portable outdoors, and this is an activity that can be combined with summits on the air and parks on the air. Operators spend 4 hours setting up a station as quickly as possible, making 5 contacts, then dismantling the station and moving to another location to do the same thing again. According to the rules, the required distances vary depending on whether the radio operator is walking, cycling, driving, or even canoeing. All bands and modes are acceptable, but the use of terrestrial repeaters is not. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
If you use solar panels in your portable operation or are thinking about it, this development in solar power technology on a much larger scale may be of interest to you. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, brings us the details.
Harnessing the sun's power doesn't come easily or affordably, but researchers at the University of Tokyo believe they're working on a future for solar panels that will be cheaper and more efficient. They announced recently that they have combined titanium dioxide with selenium, a production process that could bring down the heavy cost of extracting titanium from its ore so it can be used in a variety of energy-related products, including solar panels. The scientists' method relies on introducing an element known as yttrium into the process of purifying the titanium. So far, they have been impressed with the resulting performance. According to recent reports in Business Today and on MSN.com, the only drawback is that the element leaves traces of itself behind in the final result, enough of a contaminant that it could compromise its durability and its resistance to corrosion. The next challenge, minimize what is left behind, so that a new type of solar cell will be available in the future with a higher level of energy, efficiency, and affordability. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
In the world of DX, Bo OZ1DJJ is in Greenland using the call sign OX3LX until the 14th of March. He will primarily remain on the main island, IOTA number NA018, but may take a day trip to Manyintsok, IOTA number NA220. He will be operating holiday style since this is a work-related trip. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Dave G4BUO is on the air from Samoa, IOTA number OC097, using the call sign 5W0UO until the 3rd of March. Dave operates mainly CW. QSLs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World in April. In Jamaica, IOTA number NA097, Ian G4SGX, will be calling QRZ as G4SGX / 6 Yankee from the 1st through the 21st of March. Ian operates mainly CW and will be on 80 through 10 meters. Listen for him in the RSGB Commonwealth Contest on the 8th and 9th of March. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Mamaro JH3VAA is on the air with the call sign 8Q7VA from the Maldives, IOTA number AS013, until the 5th of May. See QRZ.com for QSL details. We end this week by sharing a happy discovery at a Maryland high school where students learning about professional radio have fallen in love with the amateur side of things. Here's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, to tell us what happened.
There was electricity in the air. Or perhaps it was electromagnetism. When high school students in Kent County, Maryland, participated in their first ARRL school roundup last fall. With support and some loaned equipment from the Kent Amateur Radio Society, K3ARS, the students logged contacts in the U.S. and a number of others overseas. For them, it was a pivotal moment, the Radio Society president, Chris Coate, KE5NJ, told Newsline. He said it exceeded everyone's expectations. Earlier this year, the sparks flew again, in a manner of speaking, during Winter Field Day. Some of the teens who were involved with WKHS, the Kent County Schools FM radio station, returned to experience once more what the amateur side of the medium can do, and just how far it can go by calling CQ from the school's parking lot with members of KARS. Now, even more students are along for the ride. With the help of Chris Coate and KARS, Chris Singleton, KE3MC, is guiding them on their journey. One that the broadcast engineer took himself not so long ago when he was still a student at the school. Chris Singleton teaches the broadcasting course on the Eastern Shore Maryland campus, where he is also manager of the school's FM radio station. Along with Chris Coate, he is encouraging the students to study for their license and to set their sights a little higher. They're hoping to reapply for an astronaut contact through the amateur radio on the International Space Station. Crossing fingers that the second time will be the charm. If they were thrilled about working Moscow during last fall's roundup, imagine what a low-Earth orbit QSO will feel like to them. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a three-line verse with five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to the Amateur Radio Daily, Brown University, Business Today, Chris Coate, KE5NJ, Chris Singleton, KE3MC, David BR, K7DB, Guillermo, Cremirius, PY2BIL, MSN.com, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space.com, Tom Gaines, KB5FHK, Wireless Institute of Australia, YLRL, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. All rights reserved.